This must be Shabbos we're having then. Hopefully.
What time?
It's around 9 o'clock.
Maybe. 9 o'clock.
Maybe 5 after 9, 10, I can't remember.
Until what time?
So it's over.
Yeah, usually it goes till around 10:30. That's what it was the minimum, because they have a lav malka. I mean, they're not having a lav malka this Shabbos.
Is there a lav malka this Shabbos?
I don't think so. I don't know for sure. But the lav malka is normally scheduled for 10:30. So I go to 10:30.
Be afraid. There's lots of places to sit.
Yeah, sure. So what haggadah did you finally decide on?
Oh, I got miso color.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's very good.
You're using it?
Yeah, it's very, very good. Yeah, it's very much what I was looking for.
Okay, good.
Thank you.
Okay. Start or just?
It was supposed to start at 12:25. It's not even 12:25 yet.
Oh, okay. No, that's right. No, my clock is fast. My watch is fast. So.
Please come in.
Okay, hi everybody, and again, I know you've been hearing many, many shiurim on Haggadah, and since I have not been at all these other shiurim, there is always the risk of repeating. And on the other hand, Chazar is not a bad thing either. And so hopefully there might be something new you'll hear as well. Obviously, the Seder is one of the mitzvos that are most beloved in Klal Yisrael. Even Jews that are very, very far from Masorah do feel a need to make a Seder. May not be totally halachadik and the like, but the fact that people want to make a Seder shows that the koach of Yitzias Mitzrayim and the sense of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's redeeming us is something that is still very much in the heart and soul of virtually every Jew. Now we know, just let me start with the halachic ha'ara, that we know that the technical mitzvah, the text of the Haggadah, everybody understands, is not a biblically mandated text. The Torah does not say specifically that we have to say the words that we say. The Haggadah, most of it was put together by the Anshei Knesset HaGdola, and of course the songs at the end of the Haggadah were Bechlal added later, they're not really even a mandatory part of the Haggadah. But there is a mitzvah d'oraisa that Pesach night, we are mechuyev to be mesaber, to narrate the story of Yetzias Mitzrayim, and ideally it would be in our own words. And according to most Rishonim, the makor of the mitzvah of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim is the pasuk v'higadata levincha, you shall tell your child, v'yomahu, on that day, which is interpreted to mean the night, b'avorzeh, because of all that Hashem did to me, we are celebrating. And the Gemara has a drasha that even though logically this pasuk might only apply if I have a son that I'm saying it to, but we darshan, even if you're by yourself, you have to go through this. So collectively, this mitzvah is based on the pasuk v'higadata, which is why the book that we use to do the mitzvah is called Haggadah, the book of narration, because it is derived from v'higadata levincha. On the other hand, for reasons that are not entirely clear to me, the way that most Rishonim refer to the mitzvah is they call the mitzvah Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim. Even though it's derived from V'higadata, it is called Sipur. Now, we know at the same time that there is a daily mitzvah, in every day and every night we paskin, that we have to at least mention the Exodus, and this is called the mitzvah of Zechira. And Zechira does not just mean mentally remembering, but you have to verbalize it. This is why, both in the morning and at night, the Parsha of Tzitzis, when we say, Ani Hashem Elokeichem, Asher Hotseisi Eschem Me'eretz Mitzrayim, the Art Scroll directs you to have specific kavana to fulfill the mitzvah called Zechira Yetzias Mitzrayim, and that is derived from a different pasuk, Laman Tiskor Es Yom Tseischa Me'eretz Mitzrayim Kol Yimei Chayecha. Now, even if there wouldn't have been a mitzvah of Haggadah, there would have been a mitzvah of Zechira, the night of the 15th of Nisan, there is a mitzvah of Zechira too. So Rav Chaim used to explain, so what exactly is the Torah adding by Sipur that you don't already have by Zechira? Now, of course, you can't just answer, well, I gotta say the Haggadah, because the Torah doesn't require Haggadah. Right? So, what does the Torah require with Sipur that is not already picked up with Zechira? In fact, I actually saw an email, somebody sent me an email. It was a joke, but actually it wasn't bad in terms of the 1 minute Haggadah. And the person like wrote, you know, we were slaves and it was bad and God brought the, you know, it was like a 1 minute Maggid. And the truth of the matter is, I looked at it, in all probability you would be Yosei with the 1 minute Maggid. You got everything in, the 10 plagues, etc. So the question becomes, what is the Torah telling me that's not already subsumed in Zechira? So Rav Chaim would be Masbir that there are four, actually Rav Chaim gave three and the Brisker Rav gave a fourth one, that so the two, father and son, they said collectively there are four inyanim in Sipur that are superimposed on the mitzvah of Zechira. Number one, and the Haggadah is based on incorporating these four yesodos. Number one, She'elo Tshuva, that the Torah requires that the narrative of Sipur come through a question and an answer. That's the Manishtana, but even if there's no son, you have to ask the Shilas yourself. Question and answer. Sechira does not require Sheila Utshuva. Now, I'll say for Shabbos, I'll talk about it, I'll be Marich exactly why the Torah is Makbid and Sheila Utshuva, but Rav Chaim says this is Li'ikuva, that the aside of the mitzvah of Sipur has to be Derech Sheila Utshuva. I remember when I was very young, my family was, we were a guest at somebody's Seder. I still remember this because even then it struck me as very funny, I think I started laughing, that there was one of the sons of the family was asking his father a whole bunch of questions about the Seder. And the father wanted to go further with the Haggadah, and he felt he was like, so he says, will you stop asking questions? We have to go on with the Seder. See, I'm missing the whole point. Sheila Tshuva. You know, even the Manishtana, the Gemara says, is like, you know, crib notes or cliff notes. You know, you don't have a question, so we'll give you some questions to ask and the like. But one should come up with questions, things to think about. So that's Sheila Tshuva. The second is what is called Maschil Bignus Umesayim Bishvach. The whole year I just talk about redemption. Pesach night, I gotta begin with the shame and the degradation. Now, the Mishnah says these words, Maschil Bignus Umesayim Bishvach. There's a machlokes in the Gemara. What is the gnus, the bad thing that we have to talk about? According to one opinion, it's Avadim Hayinu Leparo B'Mitzrayim. We were slaves. According to the other opinion, it's Mitchila Ovdei Avodazara Hayu Avoseinu, that our forefathers were idol worshippers before Avram Avinu. And the Gemara says, since we have a machlokes, and it's an unresolved machlokes, we combine both passages in our Haggadah, both the paragraph of Avadim Hayinu and the paragraph of Mitchila, which actually means, according to the simple meaning of the Gemara, our Haggadah is a blending. It's interesting, we don't have like original version A and original version B. Our Haggadah is a blending of two storylines. One was a storyline that emphasized the spiritual shame of idolatry, culminating in spiritual redemption. And the other emphasized the physical slavery culminating into freedom, right? So is the journey idolatry to monotheism, or is the journey slavery to freedom? Our Haggadah has both. The Malbim asks a very, very strong kasha. The Malbim asks, but it's mashma, that the only reason we have both is because we're uncertain which opinion we paskin like. But like the one that says Avadim Hayinu, he only did that. And the one that says Mitzchila only did that, that's a Pella. Are you telling me that Pesach night, the night of Yetzias Mitzrayim, the Mandiyamar that says Mitzchila didn't say a paragraph of Avodim Hayinu Lebarub Mitzrayim? That's impossible. How can you possibly say that you didn't talk about the Avdus of Egypt, Leil Pesach? So the Malbim actually learns a different pshat, but he follows Rishonim that have a different gears in the Gemara. That there is no machlokes what you said. Everybody said Avodim Hayinu, and everybody said Mitzchila. There is no machlokes what you say. It is simply a machlokes in Perish Hamilos that when the Mishnah says Genus, what paragraph in the Haggadah is a fulfillment of Maschil B'Genus? Is it the Avodim Hayinu paragraph, or is it the Mitzchila paragraph? In other words, what part is the Mishnah calling Genus, but there is no machlokes that you did say both. According to that, the Malbim says, you would not be Goris Hilkach Namrinu L'Tervaya, which means because we're uncertain, we say both. The Malbim actually learns. Again, there are many Rishonim that are Goris like the Malbim, that you said both, and the reason we say both is not because of this machlokes. This machlokes is just identifying what is Genus. Okay. The third element, Rav Chaim said, again, what are we answering? The difference between Sipor and Zechira. The third element, Rav Chaim said, is the statement of Rabban Gamliel. Again, it's in the Mishnah. Rabban Gamliel says, "Call me Shalai Amar Shleisha Dvar Malalu B'Pesach." Anyone that does not explain three mitzvos of Pesach, Matzah, Maror, Lo Yatsa Yidei Chavaso, has not fulfilled his mitzvah. What mitzvah hasn't he fulfilled? So that all the Rishonim say, it doesn't mean he hasn't fulfilled Pesach, Matzah, and Maror, I can fulfill Pesach, Matzah, and Maror without talking about it, just like I can fulfill Shofar, Lulav, and Sukkah without talking about it. It doesn't mean I don't fulfill Pesach, Matzah, and Maror, but it means I don't fulfill Sipur, Yitzias, Mitzrayim, where the Torah's Machayev, that is part of the narration, I talk about these mitzvahs. In fact, some Rishonim learn, even if, Nebuch, you're not able to fulfill those mitzvahs. Let's say, you don't have matzah, literally. But, so you're not Yaitzei Matzah. Nebuch, you're an Einus, you're not Yaitzei Matzah. You're still Mechuyev as part of the Sipur to explain the significance of the Pesach, just like we do Pesach. Pesach, Matzah, and Morah. Now, the fourth, now, for Shteitzach, this is unique to Sipur. This has nothing to do with Sechira. Sechira b'shayim ha'shana is not mekusher to Pesach Matzah u'Maror. And the fourth element is already from the Brisker Rav, Rav Chaim's son. And the Brisker Rav once said, used to say, that this is the hardest mitzvah of Pesach. Now, if you would ask a Brisker, what is the hardest mitzvah of Pesach? And you'd have to imagine what a Brisker would say. Certainly what the Brisker Rav would say, you would have to say it's getting rid of the chametz and baking matzah, because if you knew the chumras and the yiras shemayim that the Brisker Rav had, and the daigas and the worry and the fear. In fact, I remember they even pointed out a picture. They pointed out there are photographs of the Brisker Rav coming in to bake matzah. And the picture beforehand was so worrisome and so, you know, anxious and so afraid that things won't be right. And then they show him after the matzah breaking. And they're like such a menuchas hanefesh and the like. So one would have expected that the Brisker Rav would have said chametz and matzah. But no. He said the hardest mitzvah is the statement chayav adam liro sesatzmo kilu hu yatza mimitzrayim. That every person must regard himself as if they themselves were taken out of Mitzrayim. In other words, this is not simply remembering. The whole year it is remembering. Pesach night, it is experiencing. The Brisker Rav said, that's very, very difficult. To remember, I can remember. To be grateful, I can be grateful. But to mamash feel that Hashem is liberating me, that Hashem is giving me a new freedom. And again, as the Baal HaTanya adds in a deeper way, Mitzrayim also means boundaries and limitations and constrictions. And every single year, the koach of Yetzias Mitzrayim comes and can liberate us from all of the limitations in our Avodas Hashem, our inner Mitzrayim, our egotism, our gaiva, our arrogance, our laziness, our anger. That's the Baal HaTanya writes, Chayav Adam Liros Asatzmo, Kiilu Hu Yatsa Mimitzrayim. Every person must regard himself as if they have their own Mitzrayim for which they were taken out. Now, I don't know if the Brisker Rav learned that way or not, but be it as it may, the Brisker Rav did say that the Chiyav to actually feel that you're being redeemed, that is considered to be the hardest of all. Again, the whole year is Zechira. Pesach night is Sipur. Right? So the Haggadah is miyusad, therefore, based on these four ideas. She'ela u'tshuva, mascho b'gnos u'messayim b'shvach, Pesach matzumara, actually there are three right there, and the chayav adam, lirois es atzmei. This differentiates Sechira from Sipur. Now, there is a question that one could ask, and again, maybe you discussed this question. At the beginning of the Haggadah, and by the way, I want to point out a little thing that one should know. You know, Bederach Klal, the beginning parts of the Haggadah get much more coverage, so to speak, than the middle and towards the end. And part of it is, you know, number one, you haven't had your two cups of wine yet. Number two, it's still earlier, you're not tired, you're not so hungry, etc. And our attention wanes, that's always the case. But the truth of the matter is you have to know that a lot of the beginning part of the Maggid is really introductory to the mitzvah of the Maggid itself. It is actually not a fulfillment of the mitzvah. For example, the four sons, which might be one of the most beloved portions of the Haggadah, where everybody has gazillions of interpretations, who are the four sons, and I'm not going to add to them, because with all the pshatim, you don't have four sons, you have 500 sons. So I'm not going to add to that. But the four sons is not the Maggid at all. The four sons is a hakdama to us to know that when you communicate the story of Sipor, Chanoch lenar al pi darko, you must tailor the Sipor towards the type of person that you are addressing, and the like. So really, it's a getter of a hakdama. The parsha of Arami Ovid Avi, which many people skip or don't have a lot of things to talk about, that is the ikar. That is actually the ikar of the Maggid that one should specifically pay a lot of attention to. But as one of the preliminary, so it's not part of one of the preliminary stories, is we have the story of the famous Seder of Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, etc. That they were learning, they were having a Haggadah the whole night until it was time for the Kriya Shema of the morning. And then the Haggadah goes on and quotes, which is really a Mishnah in Brachos. Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah says, "Behold, I am like a person that is 70 years old. And I did not merit," now it either means I did not merit myself or I did not merit to convince the Chachamim. There's a Machlokas how to learn that you have to mention the Exodus at night, until Ben Zoma made a drasha, where it says, "Laman tiskar es yom seischa meres Yisrael." You have to remember the Exodus, "Kol yimei chayecha," all the days of your life. So we have a drasha. If it would have said the days of your life, that just would have meant the days. All the days of your life even means the night. And then I was able to convince people that you have to do it at night. Now the Mishnah is very schwer. Because if he means to say, "I've now convinced people," the next line of the Mishnah says, "And the Chachamim darshan that call is for Mashiach," which means they didn't accept that drasha. So what exactly did he accomplish by that drasha if the whole point was to convince people? So the other way of learning is he himself didn't know this halacha until Ben Zoma made the drasha. Derech Agav, all of you know, the Gemara in Brachos, why does he say, "I am like a person that is 70? Because in fact, he was only 18, and after Rabban Gamliel was removed from the Nisius temporarily, Rav Elazar ben Azariah became the Nasi, but since he was so young, people would not respect him, so his beard turns miraculously gray. Some want to say his beard turned gray because of the responsibility of being a Nasi. It causes premature gray. My wife likes to remind me that friends who did not go into Rabbanah still have darker beards, so things can happen about getting gray and the like. But the Arizal says a fascinating point. The Arizal says Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah was a Gilgal, a reincarnation of Shmuel HaNavi. Shmuel HaNavi died at the age of 52, very, very tragically young. So Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah was born with a neshama that already spent 52 years in this world. So when he was 18, his soul had spent 70 years in this world. That's Hare Ani Kaben Shivim Shana, 52 plus 18. But the question I want to raise is, which is a very important question, is why is this Mishnah in the Haggadah? What does it prove? What does it contribute? Because some people might say, well, if you just ask a person who didn't learn this thoroughly, he might say, well, we're making a Seder at night, so obviously we have to establish that you make a Seder at night, so I bring in Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah that you have to mention the Exodus at night. That's what a person might say. But that's totally wrong. The Machlokes, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah and the Chachamim, is the whole year when there's a mitzvah of Zechira. Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah says day and night, which is how we paskin, and the Chachamim say only day when we left and not at night. But even like the Chachamim, the Seder of Leil Pesach has to be at night. And that's not even derived from the Kol Yemei Chayecha. That's derived from something else in the Haggadah, because you say Bavor Zeh, pointing to the Matzah and the Maror. And what do we darshan? Bishah sheyesh matzah umoror v'nachum v'nacha. So if it's the case that everybody says the Seder has to be at night, and the whole machlokes, and that's pashut, the whole machlokes is about sechira kol yamos hashana, then why do I need to bring that in? So, some say like this. Some say that the only reason it's brought in is because this was the... In other words, the paragraph right before, we talked about this great Seder that we're going all night. So some are Gores, Amar Lahem, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. Meaning to say, it's not a separate thing that we're bringing. This was a conversation at the Seder itself. Meaning it's just a Hemshech. It shouldn't even be two paragraphs. It's just, they're talking. But the Nitziv... Now the Nitziv, actually, you know, the Nitziv, Rav Chaim Soloveitchik, Rav Chaim married the Nitziv's granddaughter, and they both were in the greatest years of Volozhin, they were the co-Rosh Yeshiva. The Nitziv was the senior Rosh Yeshiva, Rav Chaim was the younger Rosh Yeshiva. So the Nitziv gives a beautiful teretz which fits Rav Chaim perfectly, although he doesn't use Rav Chaim's terminology. The Nitziv says the following. The Haggadah wants to establish that the mitzvah of Sipur is not just minimal. You don't just be yaitse and say a short little thing. But rather, you're mechuyev to be marich in pratim. Now, Rav Chaim explains structurally the particular pratim are Shelu Tshuva, Maschil Bignus, Pesach Matzu Morar. But the Nitziv doesn't break it down that way, but we could take Rav Chaim's categories. Now, here's the point. How do we know you have to be marich? Maybe whatever you say is good enough, one line. So here is the point. Since, according to Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, the one line you'd have to do anyway, because that would be the mitzvah of zechira. So if the Torah is only requiring a minimal sipur, it would be a superfluous mitzvah, because it already would be included under zechira. And since Sechira is Bein Bayom, Bein Balayla, the Sipur, Behechrech, must be a longer, more detailed Sipur. See, Masha Enkein, the Nitziv says, like the Chachamim, you actually don't have a Raya, because maybe like the Chachamim, what the Torah says you gotta do at night is what you normally do the rest of the year in the day and not at night. Leil Pesach, even at night. So maybe, according to the Chachamim, one could be Yotze with a very abridged Sipur. So that's why the Baal Haggadah wants to show no. Since Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah says Zechira is even at night, so what is Sipur adding? It must be adding a long Arichas, and therefore it's really a proof to call Hamarba Rezem Meshubach. It's exactly a proof. Call Hamarba! Because Zechira, you have to do anyway. Which means, interesting, according to the Chachamim, you don't have a Raya called Hamarba Rezem Meshubach, according to that. But okay. Alright, but be it as it may, there is one paragraph of the Haggadah that is in Aramaic, and that is really the first paragraph of the Maggid. Ha Lachma Anya. This is the bread of affliction that our forefathers ate in Mitzrayim. And again, I'm sure you talked about this. The Haggadah gives us, really the Chumash gives it ultimately, two different reasons for matzah. Matzah has two opposite understandings. There is the matzah that commemorates slavery and affliction. The Egyptians would feed our forefathers. Matzah, the Ebenezer's Mayad, that when he went to India, he was a world traveler, he saw Maharajas, whatever it is, give their slaves matzah because it stayed in their stomachs a long time. You don't have to eat that much. So that's the lechem of slavery and affliction. And then, at the end of the Maggid, we remember the matzah as the matzah of redemption and geula, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu took us out in such a hurry, and then the Egyptians were driving us out, that we didn't have time to let our dough rise. Even the 18 minutes, and the Arizal says, Al Pi Kabbalah, that it was not just Paro kicking us out, but we had to leave that second because we're on the 49th level of Tuma. Had we stayed another minute, we would have disappeared spiritually. So it's important to understand that in the Maggid, which is the journey of Avdus Lecheiras, the matzah itself acquires a different meaning. We start with the matzah of Avdus, and we end with the matzah of Geula. But the question is, why is that first paragraph in Aramaic? Part of it might be, Aramaic might be a remez to the Gullus itself. In fact, we say, Hashata Hacha, now we are here, L'shana haba b'yared Yisrael, and even if we're zocha to be in the land of Israel, but in the full holiness of Eretz Yisrael, we don't yet have. But I saw from Rav Avadya Yosef a very, very beautiful pshat. And instead of simply reminding us of Golus, it actually is a great, great comfort to us. And he says the following. The Gemara says in Maseches Shabbos that when you're mispalel for a chayla, you should not be mispalel in Aramaic. Because Aramaic, because normally we need somehow the assistance of Malachim to carry our prayers. And Malachi Hashares are not makir, the Aramaic language. Now some say it's only Aramaic. They're makir English and French, which are more, but they're Aramaic, but that they're not makir because it confuses them. It's too close to Hebrew. So when you need Malachim to be molech your tefillas, you don't do it in Aramaic. But there are two exceptions. When you daven with a minyan, the Shekhinah is directly with you, so you can daven Aramaic. Kaddish is Aramaic, right? In other words, tefillas can be said in Aramaic, because then I don't need malachim, Hashem understands Aramaic too. And the other is, when you pray for a chayla in the presence of the chayla, you can pray in Aramaic, because the Shekhinah is lamala Me'rashosav shel chayla. The Shekhinah is in the bed of the chayla. Like there's even different rules how you sit when you're with the chayla, not to like sit where the Shekhinah is, etc. So it turns out that Aramaic is not available to us when we need malachim. But when HaKadosh Baruch Hu is bechvodo v'yatzma with us, we say Aramaic. Leil Pesach is the night of Ani V'lo Malach. Hashem redeems us with no angels, no emissaries, no shluchim. We begin the Haggadah B'Lashon Arami to be madgish the fact that this is the night when Hashem is directly with us. Now, he doesn't explain why don't you say the whole Haggadah in Aramaic, that I don't know. But again, most of the Haggadah is not tefillah. Most of the Haggadah is narrative, and if Aramaic is not our language, then we don't use Bedavka. But here the remez of the beginning of the Haggadah is that even though we're in Golus, and even though we're slaves, and even though we're persecuted, the Shekhinah is with us, Bebechinas, Anivul Omalach. And you know, later on in the Haggadah, when the Haggadah makes the drasha that Makas Bechoros was done by HaKadosh Baruch Hu Bechvodo V'yatzmo, so it actually makes three drashas, Anivul Omalach, Ani v'loi saraf, ani v'lo hashaliach. Right, malach saraf hashaliach. So some of the Svar Makadeshim say that malach saraf and hashaliach, not shaliach, the first letter of those three words spells out Moshe Rabbeinu. That, as you know, one of the famous horas in the Haggadah is that the Haggadah does not mention Moshe Rabbeinu except once in the middle of the Pasuk, and some say that was not part of the original Magid, by Kriyas Yamsuf it says, V'yaminu b'Hashem uva Moshe avdo. Right, so that's kind of a test if you have younger children and say, okay, when Moshe is mentioned in the Haggadah, you know, etc. But again, the reason simple why we don't mention Moshe Rabbeinu in the Haggadah is that because of Moshe Rabbeinu's greatness as the Av HaNevi'im, and because he was the one that was given the Koach to do Oso Sumovsim, people might interpret godlike qualities to Moshe Rabbeinu. And they might look at him as divine. And to be madgish that Yetzias Mitzrayim comes from HaKadosh Baruch Hu B'Chvodo V'Yatzmo, we de-emphasize Moshe Rabbeinu's role. Now it's interesting, the Rambam in the Mishneh Torah says, halachically, we're supposed to talk about what Moshe Rabbeinu did for Klal Yisrael. I mean, it's interesting that Bedavka in the Nusach of the Haggadah, we don't put in what the Rambam says we're supposed to have, but the Rambam's own Nusach doesn't have it in the Haggadah itself. So that would be during the meal, or that would be after the Seder, to talk about all the great things that Moshe Rabbeinu did. But in the Maggid, we de-emphasize. That is why, in the verses Arami Oved Avi, which are four verses about the Exodus that a person brings when he brings the first fruits. Now, one would wonder, Why did Chazal choose the text of Arami Oved Avi to build the Haggadah around? I mean, logically, Yetzias Mitzrayim is in Shemos. Why don't we read the Psukim of Shemos? As opposed to, you have these four verses, and then every fragment is then interpreted by a verse in Shemos or by a verse in Devarim. Why don't we read Sefer Shemos? So one answer actually is, well, two answers. The simple answer is, well, as long as people might think the Maggid is, if you read Shemos, it would be a lot longer, because the Prakim of Yetzias Mitzrayim are around 14 Prakim. So this way, Chazal identified four verses which get you the main point. So this concept of getting the Maggid to a shorter amount of time was already anticipated by Chazal. But some give a different reason. Some say Chazal didn't want to use Sefer Shemos because if they wanted to emphasize Moshe Rabbeinu's rules, it would be impossible to read the Psukim of Shemos and kind of skip any time you mention Moshe Rabbeinu. I mean, Moshe Rabbeinu is mentioned in every single pasuk, virtually. So they had to look for a narrative in the Torah that Taka doesn't mention Moshe. Now, Agrada, the fifth pasuk, Mikra Bikur, we have four verses. The fifth pasuk already mentions Moshe Rabbeinu, and Chazal cut it off after four psukim. And they bedavka looked for a narrative that did not mention Moshe Rabbeinu. So that's the idea of the Ani V'lo Malach, Ani V'lo, V'lo HaSholiach. Now, there's so much to say. The Haggadah, you know, there are more Mephorshim on the Haggadah, people say, I haven't counted, than there are Mephorshim on Chumash. That's kind of unbelievable. But, you know, every single year, you go into a bookstore, go into a swarm store, every single year, you know, there are around 25 to 30 new Haggadahs that come out. How do you keep track? I never. Perlman probably reads every one of them, but you know it's going to be. It gets harder and harder and harder to do. So it's really Eilu Dvarim Shein Lahem Shior. I just want to mention a practical matter, though, that you know, just as the Maggid begins with the idea of the four sons and that Chanoch Lanal Pidarko, that the nature of the narrative has to be something that everybody can appreciate. So one of the nisyonos of a Ben Torah sometimes, Ben Torah might be filled with many, many beautiful insights in the Haggadah, but not everything is suitable for everybody. And number one, when there are younger children, you have to be sure that they have what interests them. And when there are older people who might have limited background, one also has to think about what is suitable. For example, you might find, in a technical matter, that a very fascinating machlokas, the Rambam and the Ravid, or Rashi and Tosfos, about how to fulfill the mitzvah of Karpas, might be an extraordinarily interesting thing, but it may not be something that would be so helpful to your audience. I mean, I know this from my own bitter experiences in the past, that one has to give some thought as to what is appropriate, and even after the Seder is over, there is still a mitzvah to continue to talk about Yetzias Mitzrayim, as well as Hilchos Pesach, and therefore, you know, one can save a lot of the longer, more involved Torah for afterwards, for those who are able to stay up and are interested in staying up. So one has to be a little bit of a chacham here. A chacham is Roes HaNolad, to see the probable effect of their words and the like. But I just want to mention two very quick thoughts that I think are kind of general thoughts that can be helpful. And that is, after we talk about Hashem's covenant with Abraham and the prophecies that they will be slaves in a land that is not theirs, and Hashem will judge the nation that enslaved them, and they will leave, the Jewish people will leave with great wealth, both material wealth and ultimately the wealth of Matan Torah. So we then have the very meaningful paragraph, Vihi she'amdol aviseinu v'lanu. And this has stood by us, that in every generation, it is not only one that tries to destroy us, but in every generation, there are those that try to destroy us, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu saves us from their hands. And the Mephorshim have a little bit of a problem. Vihi, and this is what is standing by us. What is the this referring to? The Abarbanel says, B'derech Drush, it's only B'derech Drush, that Vihi is a Rashi Teva, The Vav are the six orders of the Mishnah. The Hey are the Chamishei Chumshei Torah. The Yud are the Aseres Adibros. And the Aleph is HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the one God. The He that has kept us is HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Sfas Emes, again, B'derech Drush, puts in a beautiful thought. When it says, Shelo Echad Bilvad Amad Aleinu L'chaloseinu, so most of us interpret that to mean, it is not only one that tries to destroy us. He says, he retranslates it, Shelo Echad Bilvad, it is only the fact that we are not one. It is our disunity, our sinas chinam. See, Shelo Echad Bilvad Amad Aleinu. But all of these are B'derech Drush. The question, though, is, what is the Vihi going on? Vihi Sha'am Dola Veseinu. So some learn that Hashem's promise that no matter who tries to afflict you, you will go out with Rechush Gadol, that is a promise that is eternal. It's going on the Rechush Gadol. But the Nitziv says he has a problem with that a little bit, because we don't find that that's automatically true, that the Rechush Gadol was a specific haftacha that was made for that door, and we don't have any type of guarantee that we'll have a Rechush Gadol all the time. So the Nitziv says that the He is actually going on what comes afterwards, that it's the fact that people are trying to destroy us has kept us alive, has kept us going. What's the pshat? He says that Jews have a natural desire to assimilate, to become part of a host culture, to adopt values. And what happens? Anti-Semitism, as bad as it is, as tragic as it is, as devastating as it is a mechanism that HaKadosh Baruch Hu allows to remind us that as much as we want to forget that we're Jews, the Umos HaOlam are going to remind us. And through the persecutions of the Umos, we realize we have to turn back to Hashem. We have to do tshuva. We have to reclaim what we really are. And that is, V'hi Sham Delaviseinu, Shalo Echad Bilvad Amad Aleinu L'chaloseinu. And the Nitziv says, that is the meaning of the Haggadah, then says, Lavan Bikesh. Lavan is worse than Paro. Because Paro only wanted to kill the men, the boys, throw the boys into the river. Lavan wanted to be Oker Esakol. Lavan wanted to destroy everybody. Shenemar, and then that begins the Bikurim verses. Arami, the Aramean Lavan, Aved Avi, wanted to destroy my father. Aveyered Mitzrayim, my father went down to Mitzrayim. So the Nitziv is Masberg, and the Chassam Sofer says a very similar idea. That where do you find that Lavan wanted to destroy? Now again, the Rishonim bring different verses, but you don't find explicitly that Lavan wanted to physically kill Yaakov. But the Chassam Sofer and later the Nitziv say that Lavan wanted to destroy Yaakov spiritually. Lavan, in fact, the reason why Lavan always refers to Yaakov as Achi, my brother, and Rashi says, Achi hu baramais, you're my brother in cheating, right? You know how to cheat, I know how to cheat. We can work together. We can be friends. And that was very, very dangerous. That would have destroyed Yaakov Baruchnius. In fact, the Chassam Sofer says, look at the Pasuk. The Pasuk is a non sequitur. Lavan wanted to destroy my father, and my father went down to Mitzrayim. That's not the sequence. It's not, Yaakov didn't leave Lavan's house to go to Mitzrayim. Yaakov left Lavan's house, he returned to Eretz Yisrael. And when Yosef was 17, you know, and then many, many years later, after that, Yaakov goes down to Mitzrayim because of Mechiras Yosef. What is the hemshech of the pasuk? Lavan destroyed my father, or would have destroyed my father, and my father went down to Mitzrayim. Historically, the two events are not connected. So says the Chassam Sofer, in reality, they are connected. And the reason that is so is because when Hashem told Avraham, your children will be in a land that is not theirs, he didn't say it had to be Mitzrayim. He didn't say it had to be Eretz Lo Lahem. So l'chaira, once they're in Lavan's house, let Hashem fulfill the Gezerah there. Why does he bring Yaakov back to Eretz Yisrael, then have a Mechiras Yosef, then get him to Mitzrayim? Says the Chassam Sofer, we did survive 210 years in Mitzrayim. We couldn't have survived 400, but we started 200. We wouldn't have survived in Lavan's house. Lavan would have destroyed us spiritually. Paro persecuted us physically. And although we did lose many spiritual madrigas, but in many, many ways, we did better with persecution than with assimilation. And that's the Hemshech. That Shalom Echad Bovad Aman Alenu Chaloseinu is Hisham De Lavoseinu. Because Lavan would have destroyed us. And that is why Hashem had to bring us to Mitzrayim for the fulfillment of that Gezerah. That's an amazing thing. The Lubavitcher Rebbe used to say, and he knew it from both places, it was easier to be a Jew in Siberia than suburbia. Siberia. Persecution. But at least you know you're Jewish. You know that although a Jew is supposed to be a law-abiding citizen, a Jew is supposed to contribute to his society, no question, but a Jew also has to know that they're an outsider. A Jew has to know that he is different, that he has a mission, he has a purpose, he has a tachlis. And when we start losing a sense of who we are, then there'll be plenty of people from the negative side who will be there to remind us. And this is the pattern of Jewish history over and over and over again. And indeed, it seems to be very, very harsh and very, very difficult. But it is one of the mechanisms that Hashgacha Pratis has used to make us understand the uniqueness of our lives and the specialness of our mission. And that is the Arami Avedavi, that Lavan would have destroyed Yaakov Lagamri, the Yerid Mitzrayimah, so the Golus, many, many years later, had to be in Mitzrayim. That's why they say, Machlokas, again, this is what the Lubavitcher Rebbe said, actually goes back to the Baal HaTanya. The Baal HaTanya lived in Russia at the time of the Napoleonic Wars, when Napoleon invaded Russia. And there was a machlokes among the Gedolim of Russia, should we pray for the victory of Napoleon or for the Tsar? Now, Tsarist Russia was awful then, mamish awful, oppressive, poverty-stricken, persecution. Napoleon promised emancipation, and indeed he did emancipate. The ghettos collapsed, Jews had political and civil rights, they could own property, they could attend universities. Ravchus. Right, so, should we stay under this persecution? Or should we pray for the gift of political freedom? The Baal HaTanya said, let's pray for the Tsar. As bad as it is, the Ruchnius will remain under the Tsar more than it will remain under Napoleon. And the truth of the matter is, it may sound very harsh, but the truth of the matter is, Napoleon, of course, as we know, was defeated in Russia. He was not victorious. But in the countries that Napoleon had kind of liberated, you had the reform movement and all sorts of secularism and Taskala. Indeed, freedom has been a very, very mixed blessing for us. And we have to be very, very careful how we use it. This is the remez of love on Bikesh, lakor is a call. So I guess, is that the right time? Yeah. So anyway, obviously there's much more to say. But it's time for Mincha already. I want to wish you all a Chag Kosher V'Sameach. And may it be, again, as the Svarim HaKadoshim tell us, each person must identify their own Mitzrayim, their own slavery. And the Kayach of Yetzias Mitzrayim is a cyclical Kayach. Now, you understand this. Sacred time in Judaism is not commemorative. It's not just remembering. It is reoccurring. That is why Chayav Adam Liros Es Atzma. The same kochos, the same spiritual powers that were there then come back every single year. It's like a circle. It comes back. And we have the ability to tap into the kochos of Yetzias Mitzrayim and become liberated Maron Mitzrayim and to achieve a Geulas HaNefesh And that gulas and nefesh, if it occurs in enough of a critical mass, brings the gulas Mashiach, the binyan beis hamikdash. Right? Chazal say, "Benisan nigolu." Nisan was the month of geula. Ubenisan asidin ligoil. Mashiach can come every single day, of course, but the month of Nisan is the most propitious time for that geula. So may all of us be zeicha to a geula shleima b'kar.
Amen.